right? And so since we're all different, God uses us. And so he is commissioning people to go out. He's telling them that to go with what you have to go with. Number three, first he gives peace. Number two, he commissions. Number three, he gives, I love this one, the Holy Ghost. He commissions them. He gives the power of authority. The power of authority. And the impartation is the same today as when then. He breathed upon them. Now, I can't do what I thought I would ask you to do. Turn to your neighbor and breathe upon him because you get germs. But the point is, you know, he breathed upon them. And we can receive that breath today. And we'll receive that when we're worshiping. We had such a great worship service this morning. We are receiving this impartation. It is divine energy. Say the word energy, energy. Now, it is like his own nature. It's the Spirit that's given. Holy Spirit was imparted, like in Genesis 2:7. The Bible says that God breathed upon them. Like in Ezekiel, he says he breathed upon them and prophesied. So God is breathing upon you, dear people. Symbolically, yes. That's what's happening. Uh-oh. Some people don't want it completely, and they put a shield on it, and God respects that. But if you take off the shield, open yourself up, God will impart that to you, Spirit imparted. And that is the John 3:16 message. I don't believe, people, that we truly, I don't, realize the power that we've got. We walk around with a poor self-image. We walk around saying, who am I? Jesus says, you are who I say you are. Yes, yes, yes. And I don't believe that I understand truly, and I say this with respect and humility, the power that we've got. You are powerful. You are more powerful than the nuclear plant down the road. You are more powerful than PG&E. You are more powerful. You are more powerful. But yet it's dormant with many people. And here's the division between the world and the disciples. This is what, I call it the energy crisis in the American church, a new book I'm writing, The Energy Crisis in the American Church. Okay, back to your handout and to the screen. The fourth thing he does, I love this one. Thank you, Jesus. He forgives my what? Sins. Setting out terms and conditions. If you don't comply, then you retain. Wow. That's what confession is all about, right? And you know, like the Bible says, we forgive as we are forgiven. And that's in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? So if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. And that's a heavy trip. But nevertheless, we are to be forgiven. And so this is the fourth message that he gives. Your sins are forgiven. Now, Mr. Thomas, I was going to say bless his name, but yeah, Mr. Thomas. Mr. Thomas missed it right here. He just sort of missed it. And we'll catch up with him during the week. But nevertheless, he says, I will not believe unless. All belief, what is unbelief? Well, I wrote several words down, not taking time for you to suggest to me, but here are some suggestions for unbelief. Unreasonable, obstinate, rebellious, prejudiced, presumptuous, insolent, stubborn, self-willed, boastful, insensible, hardening, deceitful. All that falls under the umbrella of unbelief. Well, he had unbelief. We'll come back to him in a minute. But nevertheless, Thomas withdrew. Thomas became a lone ranger. Thomas went away. He just wasn't there. But yet he's never lacked courage. He was a natural pessimist, always looking on the gloomy side of things, no doubt. But he did really, really love Jesus because it was he who said, you know what, I'd rather die. I'll go with you to die. So he was a good guy. But nevertheless, he did make that mistake. Now, here's the deal. On the third event coming up on the screen and on your handout, the third event, John 20:26, after 8 days. So that after 8 days puts us where? Today, right here. 8 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 8 days, okay? So the Bible says, after 8 days, Thomas goes to church. He goes to church like us today. Where in the world has he been? Where have you been? Where have you been? If you were not here last Sunday, last Lord's Day, for whatever reasons, but you're now here 8 days later, where have you been? Where have you been? After 8 days, we got this Thomas. He comes back. So the question is, he lost out because he was not faithful to stay with the group. Maybe he heard that Jesus was there, and he wanted so much to get in touch. I remember once my kids, many years ago, went to hear somebody preach, and when they came back, they said, Nanny and Papa, you should have been there. You should have been there. Well, he should have been there. He should have been there. But now he is there, and as we speak, he is here now. So he hears of the church meeting, and he's there. And he confesses in the most plainest and most irresistible testimony of the deity of Jesus. And he, my friend, was the very first person that gave the title of G-O-D, which says, to Jesus. Doubting Thomas? Well, yeah, but he was the very first one that said, you are God. You are God. So, at that point, you know, Jesus says, well, you know what to do. You can, here I am, touch me. And whether he did or not, we don't know. Speculation makes no difference. But nevertheless, whether he did feel the nail prints or the spear wound in the side, it's not stated. It's all guesswork. But then he makes his great confession of the church. For let me ask you, who in the world was this guy named Thomas? Who was Thomas? It's a Greek word, Didymus, in the Bible. You may have it in yours, Thomas Didymus. Is it in your notes? Yeah, it does, so I can ask. Okay, does anybody know what the word Didymus means? Oh, you read quite well. Any twins here today? You're a twin? Okay, nevertheless. Jesus said, you needed the eye of sight to make you believe, but the day will come when men like us today will see with the eye of faith and will believe. So it's for me as well as for you, the eye of faith. So on the same basis, we're all from time to time could be called Thomas, sometimes more so. Many had more unbelief in the beginning, but like Thomas, leaped ahead, moved on. He doubted in order to become more sure, and when he did surrender, he went, what, all the way. And then he did go all the way. He went, and he was the only disciple, as far as we know, that went out of the Roman Empire in his preaching. He went a long way. In fact, he went to India. So let me share some information. It's believed that he went to Parthia in Persia and in India. And they say there that Thomas was a builder, and he helped build a great palace in India. He was given a lot of money to build this great palace in India. But guess what? He got the money. He put it in his pocket. And he walked away, and he took the money out, and he gave it to the poor. Now, I don't know what would happen in America, but I know what happened to him. Boy, did he ever get nailed. He got nailed, and do we have the slide, Jaden, of his, all disciples have an emblem. And so the emblem that you see before you is the emblem of Thomas. We'll call him St. Thomas. Nothing wrong with that. And so what you see is what you see. And it illustrates the building part of him, and it also illustrates the, unfortunately, the demise of him. And so here's what happened. It says that after he did this, they got pretty mad. Well, why not? And so he was martyred by being thrust through with a spear. And in fact, they say that his grave is still there in Essen. They said that in the 4th century. But here's the point. This emblem of him shows him, and I like this emblem, and you can go on my website, I've got emblems of all the disciples, but this shows what he was and what he did. The idol priest tortured him with red-hot plates. It didn't kill him, so he was cast in an oven. That didn't seem to have any effect on him. Wow. So then they pierced through him with a spear while he was in the furnace. Now, you know you have your Bible. There are 4 Gospels, and they are. But did you know there's another one called the Gospel according to Thomas? Some of you nodded your head. Well, I've got it at home. I've read it. Why is it in the Bible? Well, because those who are the fathers who put the canon of Scripture together with the 66 books did not feel that it was inspired as such. But anyway, it's interesting reading, and it's called the Gospel according to Thomas. It was found in 1945. It has 114 sayings of Jesus, but no Christian group actually accepts him. The point I'm trying to make is that this was a real guy who did real things for Jesus as a result of what happened that night, 8 days after the resurrection. So the last is this. For us, the conclusion, it's a week after Resurrection Sunday. And here are the 4 things on the screen. Read them. Number 1. Number 2. Number 3. And number 4. Yes, there's no shortage out like the electrical power recently in Morro Bay. Not at all. So what you do right now is stand and lay your hands on somebody. And Father God, we're laying our hands on somebody right now. It's like we are illustrating the fact that that person has got power. So you got your hand. Somebody's got your hands on you. And Jesus got his hands on me. You've got the power. Say it. I've got the, yes, you do. And so, dear Jesus, I pray that you would bless these people as we go out. We call you Lord. We call you Master. Then we're going to do as you have commanded. With faith believing, we're going to go out and tell the story. In Jesus' name, amen. And I have to say before we leave, if you're here today and you don't have Jesus in your heart, we just want you to please accept him. It's simple to say, dear Jesus, I need you. I believe what you did on the cross. And you say that with faith believing. He says, well, I'll come in. I'll come in. And I'll come in and stay. So bless you as you don't stay here, but as you go out in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming.